Have you ever been watching the news and suddenly just felt really angry about something you heard? You know, maybe, for instance, you just heard some politicians had passed a bill to which they'd attached a lot of riders for perks in their back in their home district, which nobody really needed. Remember the thing a few years ago, we had the bridge in Alaska. And it went nowhere, but it got a lot of jobs going. Or it could be other things. It might be anger when you see what some dictator is doing in another country, how he is practicing genocide, for instance. Or it could be something closer to home. But something that causes anger, and we say to ourselves, why does God permit these kind of things to happen? You know, the Holocaust. Why does God permit someone so evil to kill millions of people? Or why does God permit someone to abuse children? We have at least a partial answer in the parable of the first reading today, the gospel reading. In it, Jesus uses that example of the weeds and the wheat. And he says, God chooses to let them grow together, lest if he were to pluck out the weeds, he might also destroy the wheat. Part of that, I think, is the patience of our God that's sort of brought out in the first reading. God wants all of us to reform. God wants each and every one of us to be reconciled with Him. And He gives time, even to the evildoers, time that they can change their lives. God wants salvation for all. Another part of that may well be that we who hopefully are on the good side, we have some obligations to reach out and try to bring others into the fold, bring them to Christ Jesus. That is one of our callings in baptism. It is to be concerned about the salvation of all. The next two parables in the gospel today are really parables filled with hope. They're very short. The mustard seed. Jesus says, the smallest of seeds, but it becomes a bush large enough for the birds of the air to nest in. And the yeast. We know how just a little packet of yeast can transform many cups of flour. And what Jesus is trying to say there is sometimes it may look as if evil is winning over good. But he's saying that the yeast of his love, the seed of his love, is planted in this world. And imperceptibly, it is growing. In a time we do not know, in a way which we cannot understand, the kingdom of God is coming because of the seed of the love that Jesus has planted among us. Those parables call us to hope. They call us to trust in the power of the love of our Savior. We go on from there, and we have an explanation of the first parable. And there's some things in that explanation I'd like to focus on this morning. Notice how he says, he who sows good seed is the Son of Man. And the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. For some reason, that kind of caught my attention as I was reading. Because we live in a time when I think many would sooner say there is no such thing as the spirit of evil or Satan. And yet, it is so clear here that Jesus believes very firmly that there is an evil one, that Satan is real. So I went and looked up in the scriptures, and in the New Testament, the word Satan is used 34 times. The word devil is used 36 times. Paul summarizes it kind of well. He says, we are not struggling against human forces, but we are struggling against the principalities and the powers. The spirit of evil was very real to St. Paul, very real to Christ Jesus. And it reminds us that there is a force out there that wants to destroy us. And we can easily be caught by that. Why we need prayer. Why we need the sacraments. Why we need to discipline ourselves to stay close to our Savior. It goes on. It talks about how the weeds and the wheat will be separated and the weeds thrown into the fire. That separation of the good and the evil. But this line also caught me. The Son of Man will send his angels and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. Cause others to sin. We call that scandal. We don't talk too much about scandal, and yet it is a very real thing in our lives. What is scandal? Scandal is what I do that leads others to sin. Scandal is the bad example I give. And Jesus is saying to us, if you do that, if you give that example, if you lead others to sin, you bear the responsibility for their sin. And we know how real it is. You know, for example, would abortion be as common today if it weren't for the scandal? If it weren't for people saying, well, she did it, they did it, it solved their problem, why shouldn't I do it? Wouldn't people be more faithfully attending Mass if they didn't see others say, well, you know, got a ball game today. Or, you know, I just was out late last night, I'm tired. Or, oh, I just wanted to do something else, wanted to go shopping today. And what happens is we see someone doing it, and it makes it easier for others to do it. The example of living together. Would we have so many couples living together before marriage if it wasn't for the scandal of others doing it? And we begin to say, well, they do it, they do it, they do it. Why shouldn't I? And Jesus is reminding us that we bear the responsibility for the bad example that we give. Our young people could teach us that very easily. Don't they always say, well, everybody's doing it? Or so-and-so gets to do it, why can't I do it? They teach us how the example of others is so powerful and can so easily lead us into evil. What did Jesus say about it in another place? Something about those who lead the little ones into sin would be better that a millstone be tied around their neck and they be drowned in the depths of the sea. It's good for us to think about. But I want to end on a more positive note. He says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And that is our goal. May we live in righteousness. May we live united to Christ Jesus. May we deepen that oneness with Him so that we, each one of us, can shine like the sun in our Father's kingdom.